Derek, you know, I thought about a big fluffy intro. I thought about new music. I thought about different stuff. Nope. No nonsense. No bullshit.
Whoa, 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 whoa. No nonsense?
No nonsense.
I gotta go.
No nonsense. No bullshit. Folks, it's time. This podcast has been broadcasting now for 6.5 seasons. Never once have we been in a playoff race that I can recall during the month of April. But as we sit here today, Derek, welcome back, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, I just checked my Fitbit because you said playoff race in April. Yeah, my heart rate's at 98. Just thinking about it, Mike. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Folks, this is what we have hoped for, right? I know we all wanted to have the number one seed locked away by now, but after the December this team had, to be here in April, to not be chasing a playoff position and hoping that somebody else loses, but to be in control of your playoff destiny after 79 games have been played is an interesting place to be.
No one controls their own destiny. But show of hands, people listening to the podcast, show of hands. How many of you would have...
Just one hand if you're driving.
Yes, please. Safety first. How many of you would have gladly taken being in the second wild card spot with 3 games to go? Just about everybody? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's a lot of hands.
So it's tough right now because you can go back and go, oh man, if we didn't drop those back-to-back against the Capitals last week, if we didn't lose that game yesterday in Pittsburgh, if we didn't lose game X that we crapped the bed against Ottawa, whatever that was a couple months ago, it's easy to replay those games. It's harder to replay those games like when we throttled Nashville here in Raleigh. You don't say, well, what if that game didn't go our way? I'm happy with where we are. Obviously, I am hashtag shitless nervous for these next 3 games. There's a lot of things that can happen, but it's a good place to be in, despite the fact that I think a lot of Canes fans' body is basically one contracted muscle right now.
Yeah, we've talked with more than our probably fair share of people, including folks who are, you know, personally associated with Section 328, who basically have not been through this before. And the stress when you have been pulling for this team for so long and for them to have teased us for so long, it's maddening to this point because we want to, there's so many people on Twitter that are doing this and that and what if, and it's just like, I just want to find a way to just channel enjoyment, and it's just so hard right now.
Yeah, I agree, because while there's the this being a playoff run, there hasn't been this, a playoff run, with this particular set of circumstances that we're dealing with. So while some folks who are close friends and others who listen to the podcast and other folks who, you know, may never hear me say these words, it is not to say that we've done this before, you're new, welcome. This is a unique set of circumstances where it is a tight playoff race where we have had hope built up after... Well, the last time, Mike, we were talking, I forget if it was 2010-11 or 11-12 where we were close to a scenario like this, but it's been at least 7 years since anyone has felt anything like this. So to add those 7 years on top of this current experience, it's a unique experience for all of us. And whether you're dealing with it with a perspective of, hey, I'm glad we're here, or holy crap, I need to stay off social media and just enjoy these games to the best of my own ability, you do you. I'm personally glad we're getting this experience because it means we're playing meaningful hockey games after like January 12th.
Well, not only that, Derek, you look at this meaningful hockey experience that this team on the ice is getting, right? Justin Williams, I don't know if Justin Williams' leadership has shown more than it has maybe in the last 2 weeks, where he has been driving this team, where he has been demanding of this team, trying to show this team exactly what is needed to be there. But again, there's some guys who haven't been, you know, playoff fixtures, the Teuvo Teravainens, the Sebastian Ahos, heck, even Michael Ferland, who's been a little gone and silent for the last 13 games. you know, haven't necessarily felt this sort of crunch. And I look at the Washington Capitals, right? We were all like, does the Washington Capitals have a hangover? Did they drink too much? And if you look at what they've done,
I mean, yes,
like,
and yes.
Yes and yes. But if you look at the last 2 weeks, that is a team that knows when to put the gas down, when to hit the pedal. And this is a team that said, okay, boys, here it comes. And whereas, you know, it felt different playing Washington this past week twice, that they were somewhat of a different team. I felt like this was playoff mode Capitals versus regular season mode Capitals. And I don't know if the Canes don't have enough experience being in playoff mode, which is why I'm so hopeful, regardless of whether it's, you know, the third position in the Metro, which is still a very small chance, but still a chance, or wild card one or wild card two. I want these guys to get that playoff experience, to what this is, because this is going to be much like this has been a season of broken curses. We broke the Madison Square Gardens curse. We broke the Vancouver curse. We broke the Colorado curse. It feels like we've almost even broken the curse of the damned goalies, and we've broken the curse of other players scoring their first goal ever against us. So it feels like so much has changed. And if we could banish the largest curse that has hung over this team since Evgeny Malkin scored that wicked third goal backhand. Wicked third goal backhand over Cam Ward's glove hand in the game 4 of the 2009 Eastern Conference Finals.
Ugh.
We could finally just move on and be a new team that has a rebirth of a new coach, of a new owner, of new leadership, of new blood, and move this thing forward. I think not only the team needs it for the experience, regardless of who they have to face in the first round, I think even more this fan base needs it, so that way we can have that collective sigh of relief that it's finally over.
I'm with you. I have so many thoughts. Like, you know, you talked about...
That's why we have a podcast, Eric, so we can share thoughts with people.
You talked about the Capitals being in playoff mode and snapping out of that hangover and being themselves again. I wonder, with Justin Williams saying that the team is ending the storm surge prior to last Thursday's game against those same Capitals, did that change the way this team was operating? Like, I get it from the... we need to be singularly focused on winning these hockey games. But what message does that say about the prior 76 games? Were you not? Is it a just self-imposed hiatus, like LeBron not going on social media during the playoffs? Is it a, we were running out of ideas and didn't want to just repeat things, so we're going to say we're done for that reason? I'm curious to the rationale behind it, but I just wonder, take the reason away from it, does changing how you approach a game and a mindset of even just like what you do before you get to the rink, but before you take the ice, like I'm sure they're kicking around ideas, when that's not there and there's not that same vibe in the room, does that change anything? I legitimately don't know.
No, and that's a great question. We welcome Mike Sondheim, who I know, longtime listener, first-time caller. We encourage you to invite Justin Williams to join us on the podcast to have a conversation with that, I don't know, in mid-July, after his season's over by about 40 days.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. Folks, we've got great guests tonight on the Caniac Realtor guest line. We're going to have Rob Mixer from First Ohio Battery and Scott Maltla from Habs Eyes on the Prize. We're going to do a little playoff talk roundtable tonight. That was a lot of fun. We had a chance to chat with those guys earlier about kind of what their fan bases are going through, how we're all dealing with it, how they're going to feel when they're the ones on the outside looking in. And we had a really interesting conversation, I think we talked a little bit about this on the interview, but after the interview, I want to discuss this whole Toronto Maple Leafs thing, because that is such an intriguing idea. But Derek, you know what else is intriguing?
What's that, buddy?
You hitting that damn X button.
Oh yeah. Thwap.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the pre-playoff edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we're still a proud partner of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. We still do bottle mix beer reviews. We've brought guests to you on the Fathom Realty guest line, and we're here to talk to you a little bit tonight about what it's going to take to get to the playoffs. Derek, three games. The Carolina Hurricanes currently have 93 points.
Mm-hmm.
93 points. Six is the magic number. They need a combination of 6-loss, 6-1 to be able to clinch the playoffs. So, Derek, I ask you, as the Carolina Hurricanes currently sit under the shadow of the CN Tower in the center of the hockey universe.
It's like if there's a shower covering the CN Tower, they might need to send some security team up to the sky deck.
Yeah, it's Lou Lamoriello. Derek, what do the Carolina Hurricanes need to change on Tuesday night to make sure they escape Toronto with 2 points?
You mentioned it in the intro. Michael Ferland has been, I don't want to say absent, but he hasn't been as noticeable as he has been when he's on his game. I think that's one thing that would be really helpful. I think Sebastian Aho needs to drink coffee before the game. He has not seemed to be as dangerous as normal. He's still creating chances.
This portion of the podcast brought to you by Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons, they serve coffee.
Don't let Ryan O'Reilly drive you. But Aho, he's still created chances. He's still getting points, but it's not the same quantity of chances and the same danger of chances as we know from him. The defense has been good. Really curious to see what Hayden Fleury is going to bring, and hope DeHaan gets better much sooner than later and that injury's not as bad as it looked. But I don't think the team's been playing that poorly. I kind of expected us to lose in Pittsburgh and expected to have a guy injured, because even though it's not the igloo, we always seem to get a guy injured in Pittsburgh. Our effort against the Capitals on Thursday wasn't bad. Our effort against Philadelphia on Saturday I thought was outstanding. So I don't know that the team needs to change much. It's just maybe get an extra contribution here and there. I mean, the power play even scored 2 goals Saturday. So I don't think the team's playing that poorly. Mike, you and I were talking off air a little bit. This is just one of the first stretches of 500 hockey we've experienced in a while, and it feels bad because we're not going 7-3. We're going 5-5.
Yeah, it's you know what? The one thing I'll be interested to see with what Rod Brendamore has in front of him. Obviously, Hayden Fleury is going to get inserted into the lineup Tuesday night. Will there be any changes made to the forward lineup? Because it's been fairly static for the better part of the last month. Does Saku Manalainen get reintroduced into potentially that fourth line? I'll tell you what I'm over. I'm over that third line. You mentioned Michael Ferland, right? Right now, Lucas Walmark, Jordan Martinook, and Michael Ferland doing a grand total of 0 shits for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think they're playing fine. But right now, in the middle of a playoff hunt, I don't know if fine is good enough. The question is, do you mix that up a little bit? Do you put Michael Ferland back with Sebastian Aho? Sebastian Aho played his best this season when Michael Ferland was on his wing. Do you do something like moving Justin Williams, who has played phenomenally, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Do you move Justin Williams down the lineup and say, J-Dub, we need your leadership. I also need fresh legs come the playoffs. Let's reignite Michael Ferland and put him back up with Sebastian Aho and see if that does anything. Is there any tinkering there to be done that may benefit this team over the last three games? It'll be interesting to see what first-year head coach Rod Brendamore does.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like you said, how Ferland played his best on Aho's wing, so is Justin Williams. So what's the net gain? And I'm not saying there isn't one. I'm just wondering what it is. And thankfully, there are people like Eric Tulsky who are far smarter than either of us and who have the data to say...
That's understatement of the decade.
Okay. Eric Tulsky far smarter than both of us combined.
Still the understatement of the decade.
Eric Tulsky far smarter than this Mac Mini, which is hooked up to the internet.
Okay, that's close.
Okay. But, you know, a guy who has the numbers, the data, the insights to put that together, who may be able to share something like that with the coaching staff when requested of, look, if you bump this guy to here... Here's what it should output. I don't know if the analytics work that way. I only imagine they do, because we only get to see the tip of the iceberg of the analytics at their disposal.
Yeah. I don't know. I think as important as the Canes win and coming out of Toronto with 2 points is the fact of hopefully Montreal plays Tampa. And
I do hope that game happens.
It should happen. But for Tampa to continue their run of destruction over people, if that could be a 4-point swing, and then the ability for the Carolina Hurricanes to clinch at home on Thursday and remove any doubt before having to go to Philadelphia and allow a Philadelphia team, who I'm sure would love to play spoiler for a Carolina Hurricanes team, in what was a chippy game on Saturday, by the way.
Yes, particularly late.
I mean, yes.
I forget who it was that ragdolled Williams.
Well,
but Williams certainly got his comeuppance, or not his comeuppance, but got his retribution against somebody on Philly. I don't know if it was the same player or not, but that tripping call against Williams, while a lot of fans in the arena didn't like it, I thought it was a pretty damn obvious Williams took that guy's skates out.
Yeah. It not only did he take his skates out, he said, you know what, we're not going to be effed with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's part of that Justin Williams leadership that I feel is really showing out. And just, Derek, I've loved this team for months. I love what they're doing. I love what Rob Brindamore is doing. Let me ask you one other question, Derek,
okay,
before we go to our special guest on the Kaniac Realtor guest line. You have 3 games left, all spaced out.
Mm-hmm.
Does Curtis McElhinney start another game this regular season for the Carolina Hurricanes?
This is absolutely no disrespect to Curtis, but I hope not. Mrazek, I think, has been the better goaltender of late. I like the aggression with which Mrazek is playing net. He's going out. He's punching the puck out of the air. He's poke-checking like a madman. He seems to be controlling the play a little bit better right now. With the space between games, I think the only way that McElhinney should play is if something bad happens to the team or to Mrazek himself. So for those reasons, I want Peter to play all 3 games.
Yeah, I think you agree that, again, Mrazek versus Philadelphia, I think, is a pretty natural fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, there's a little bit of chemistry and rivalry there. I think we saw a little bit of that on Saturday. Again, if McElhinney had looked better against Pittsburgh, and I don't think he necessarily looked bad, he's got experience against the guys in Toronto. And what do the analytics tell you about a guy who used to play for Toronto? And he's actually played very well against Toronto this year, if mm-hmm. I recall. And I could be completely wrong. I'm sure the 328 correction department will reach out to us via DM. You know, I believe Curtis McElhinney actually shut out the Toronto Maple Leafs earlier this year. As Derek looks that up,
let's see. Get the old game log here.
Ooh, game log.
Yeah, shutout. McElhinney had a shutout against Dallas and a shutout against Pittsburgh.
Okay, all right. So I was wrong there. So.
He had. Let's see. He's played Toronto November 21st. He gave up 2 goals on 32 shots.
That was a win.
That was a win. And that was the only time he has played Toronto this year.
Okay. All right.
So, again, not a bad performance. 938 save percentage and a 2.0 goals against.
Right. And that was before we went on this crazy good run that we had been on over the last 3 months. So, I mean, it's exciting, right? I think as Canes fans, the one thing I would say is let's enjoy what we've got. We've got 3 games left. We've got 1 game at home that we're going to get together and celebrate the year, whatever this year is going to be and will have been. And we'll talk more about that later in the podcast. But Derek, I think before we do all of that, we should show some respect to our special guest.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Derek, on the Kaniac Realtor guest line, this is one of the first times in a while that we've done this, and it's also one of the first times in a while, folks may be shocked to hear this, it's April and we're still in the playoff hunt. So we figured, what a better way to kind of commiserate the existential dread all of us are going to be experiencing over the next 6 days than to bring in our brothers and sisters in existential dread. Yes, that's right. We have Rob Mixer from First Ohio Battery and Scott Motla from Habs Eyes on the Prize. We're going to have a little roundtable discussion. Hurricanes, Les Habitants, and the Blue Jackets. Who's going to win? Gentlemen, first question. How is it going to feel when the Hurricanes knock you out of a playoff position? Scott, we'll start with you. Habs eyes on the prize.
Well, it's not going to feel great that a team that could end up with almost 100 points isn't going to make the playoffs because the Eastern Conference is so good this year. It's like, oh, wow, they did all these things after being a lottery team last year. And then to come that close in a fantastic season and then fall a little bit short, it's not going to lie, it's going to sting a little bit. And then it's like, oh, okay. And then you got to get ready for the draft lottery and everything right afterwards.
Yeah, we were just looking at the standings earlier, and it's like, holy crap, 93 points where the Hurricanes currently are in the second wild card would be fifth in the Western Conference. That's just nuts to think about. Rob, I assume you're feeling slightly better than you were this time last week.
Yeah, slightly better. quite the understatement. But to be honest with you, if the Blue Jackets are knocked out by the Hurricanes, they have larger issues than who knocked them out. It's no secret what they did at the deadline, and it got a lot of attention. Some people agree with it, some people don't agree with it, but it was largely well received here locally, that they were able to do something pretty aggressive and try to get in. I don't think any of us thought that it would come down to this, but man, if they don't get in, they have a much bigger problem than who they lost out to.
Yeah, and I think I look at where Columbus is at, and Derek and I were talking, liken them to where kind of Bergevin may have been a year or two ago, where there was a big, massive trade, obviously Bergevin and the Weber and Subban deal, and then everything that Yarmo did this year. So, maybe Scott, let's go to you. What's the take in Montreal on Marc Bergevin and his position now that you guys are three games away from potentially securing a playoff berth when less than 24 months ago he was the worst GM on the planet?
Marc Bergevin had an offseason where we at Eyes on the Prize talked about it. He and Peter Chiarelli went into this season in the exact same way, and somehow everything Bergevin did has paid off. In one way or another, he drafted Kotkaniemi, who's turned out really well. He had a really solid draft behind that. Max Domi is a 70-point forward for the Canadiens playing first-line minutes. Philip Deneau has exploded. Shea Weber came back and was healthy. Carey Price, outside of the first month or so of the season, has been a monster. And then he didn't spend assets in case, things should fall off or fall apart going into the playoffs this year. They still have plenty of draft picks to keep this prospect retooling on the fly going. And it's amazing that 2 years ago we're worried that going into the trade deadline or going into the offseason, is he going to trade this guy? Is he going to trade this player? Now when you hear that he's mentioned that they might be looking at something, you're like, okay, a little bit of faith or a little bit of goodwill goes a long way in how these things worked out. Fans aren't panicking every single time it's rumored Montreal might be interested in someone. And it blows my mind just the 180-degree turn that it's been from the end of last season till now.
Yeah, Scott, I heard you say you have a lot of draft picks, and I can't help but feel that that's a shot at Rob and the Columbus Blue Jackets. because, like you mentioned, Yarmo went for it. And as a fan of a team, or as just a fan of hockey, I like to see a GM go for it. And if it were almost any other circumstance, I would love to see Columbus rewarded for that because I want GMs to be more aggressive and not just sit on their hands at the trade deadline. But what's the feeling in Columbus? I imagine it's better now than it was a week ago, but with Yarmo going pretty much all in with the chance that you could lose a great number of your best players in this postseason, is there any expectation or thought of, hey, the Jackets better do blank, otherwise, was it worth it?
That's a great question. I think there's always that underlying thought of, if this doesn't work out, what happens? And I see both sides of it, but I also, I find it hard to believe that the Blue Jackets wouldn't have executed the plan that they did at the trade deadline if they didn't have full approval and full buy-in from the ownership level on down. I think this was a collective decision, obviously, to make that kind of move or a series of moves to give them their best possible team. And you're right, like from the GM's chair, he's looking at it as if this might be the best collection of players that they have for the next several years. So why not send the right message to your players that, you know, one, we believe in you, and two, we believe in what you can do with a little bit of help. So yeah, that's kind of that there's two sides to that coin that, you know, you admire what they did and how aggressive they were to get to, you know, to get those players and add what they did to give them a better chance. But at the same time, you're like, geez, like what, you know, where do they go from here if it doesn't work out? Because you have the potential of four very good players walking out the door in 3 months' time. So there's that part of it too. But I think that, you know, for fans here locally right now, they're so wrapped up in this race where a week ago it looked like they were dead in the water. And now after five straight wins and they have a plus 20 margin in those five games, it's completely flipped. And, you know, people here are now, they've got aspirations on seeing how high they can climb, you know, and that's kind of where the team's at too, is, you know, who says they can't run the table. So it's going to be a really fun last week to see what they can do. They've actually started to finally get some contributions from those guys they brought in too, which is good.
Well, and, you know, as we sit here and we look at the standings, Columbus's magic number, I believe, is four. The Hurricanes' magic number at this point is six, to be able to clinch that spot. But I think all of us would agree that nobody wants WC2. If you had to choose, is it worth it to have the playoff run and get swept in four games by quite possibly the best team since the 2002 Detroit Red Wings? Or is it worth it to say we were in and we got a little bit more experience and we had the playoff run? I know what we think here in Carolina, but I'd love to hear where you guys are at, who have maybe been there a little bit more recently, particularly Rob, with the string of first-round exits you guys have been fighting.
Yeah, I'll lead this one off. I think that, you know, the Blue Jackets are doing everything they can to get out of that spot. And last year, it was a bit differently, where we suspect there was some strategic maneuvering to make sure that they slid into a different position out of the third spot in the Metro to get into Wild Card 1 so they could set up a date with the Washington Capitals. And that didn't exactly work out the way they wanted it to. So, I don't think, and we've seen the results in the regular season, the Blue Jackets are, I think a lot of teams have found this out too, they're a god-awful matchup with the Lightning. It just doesn't work out very well for anybody. And, you know, the Blue Jackets have had 8 goals dropped on them. They've been waxed on national TV at home by Tampa. So it just hasn't gone well against them. And they are, you know, obviously a much better team from top to bottom than Columbus and than many of the teams that are fighting for those spots. So they're going to try and run the table and see what happens, because being in Wild Card 2 is it's kind of just like buying an extra week of your season.
Scott, any thoughts from you on what the value of getting into the playoffs with the potential of getting just absolutely smashed by Tampa is?
Well, on one hand, it's like, yeah, it's terrifying that Tampa is this goal-scoring Goliath of a team that's seemingly deep at every position. And at the same time, Montreal's young, and I feel like playoff experience would be great for a lot of these guys that have come in and had very strong career years. And then I also think back to, yeah, Tampa might sweep them in four games, but I've been a Canadiens fan long enough to remember the 2010 playoffs where Washington was supposed to smash them in four games. And then Pittsburgh was supposed to pick the bones of that. And they went to the Eastern Conference Final. Anything can happen in the playoffs. There's no guarantee that it's going to, but at least buying that ticket and giving those guys who've been playing with a chip on their shoulder a chance to do that on an even bigger stage is one that, honestly, regardless if it's wildcard one or two or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'd love to see the team in the playoffs and see if they can pull off one of those upsets, because it wouldn't be the strangest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, I think that's probably the prevailing feeling down here in Carolina. And beyond just the young players who could really use the playoff experience, the fan base down here desperately needs it. I mean, if we get the rug pulled out from under us again, I don't want to go there yet. I can't do it. Mike?
Help me out here. I just went to a dark place. I need someone to pull me back out.
And I was trying to decide who I wanted to be my big spoon if either Scott or Rob had to hold me, because it's going to end poorly. Guys, let me ask you this from your perspective. You know, I think, at least on paper, Montreal probably has the toughest run considering who they have to play. Columbus should theoretically have the easiest. What is each of your teams that you guys cover need to do appropriately in the next week to make sure that you guys ensure that? Is there any trap games on your calendar? Are there worries about injuries?
I don't think trap games are possible at this point. If you're overlooking an opponent right now, you deserve the worst fate, which is picking 13th.
Let's go to Columbus v Ottawa real quick.
Oh, Jesus, good God, yeah, that's. I mean, like, this is a Blue Jackets team that is, you know, they're not very far removed from going into Edmonton in a game that they probably needed to win. And just like, think about this, guys. Like, they're fighting for their playoff lives right now, and their magic number is 4, so they're getting close, but they have left 4 points on the table this year to the Oilers, and they've gotten absolutely smoked in both of those games. And the most recent one was not even 2 weeks ago, when they're in this similar position, battling neck and neck with Carolina and Montreal, and they completely crapped their pants. I mean, it was an awful performance when they needed to win. And, you know, I think if they had a trap game on their schedule, it would have been Sunday night. You know, they're coming off an emotional win in Nashville, a place that they just can't seem to find a way to win there in their entire history. It's been quite a challenge for them to find a way to win in Nashville over the years. But then they go the next night to Buffalo, where it's so similar to what they faced in Edmonton, where a team that's out of it, that has nothing to play for, and is kind of just riding off in the sunset. And, you know, to their credit, they played a much better game, and they found a way to avoid getting trapped there. But to piggyback off the point we were just talking about what slot you want to get into, you know, I think the Blue Jackets want to avoid wild card 2 because they don't have a choice right now other than to get out of the first round. Like, you know, they have not won a playoff series. This is their best collection of players, and they didn't go all in at the deadline to get knocked out in 4. So, yeah, like that kind of puts a bow on that point where, you know, they need to do everything they can to win these last 3 games and see where it places them because, I mean, right now, losing in the first round for the Blue Jackets is just not an option.
Scott, what about the feeling of in Quebec?
I already forgot what the question was. I looked at something.
No, we were. You know, I think you guys probably have the toughest road to hoe. With, you know, you've got that big Tampa game against Eddie Pascal and a Victor Hedmanless Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday. Is that the game that worries you most? Is there a trap game in there? And then obviously closing the season with, you know, the dreaded, hated, probably worst team in the National Hockey League in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Derek, that's pandering to your guest right there. That's how you do it. is there a trap game there? What worries you most?
Well, the fact that it's Tampa Bay, Washington, and Toronto, 3 games in a row where they can't afford to lose any of those games. It's like, yeah, Eddie Pasquale's in net, and I watched him play in the AHL when St. John's was still the Montreal Canadiens AHL affiliate, and it's like, okay, he's out, Hedman's out, but it's still the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Kucherov could score 12 goals in that game, and it wouldn't be that out of the realm of possibility. It's like, okay, you got to go into that regardless of who's in net, and you just got to put your foot down. I've watched them score 5 goals in Tampa and put up a 3-0 lead on Toronto in the first period and a half and then just deflate like a balloon. If you're going to go out and swing for the playoffs, you can't afford to drop your guard in these games because these are teams that'll make you pay for it. It's, you got to go out and you score 4 goals. You keep going until that final whistle blows and you get your 2 points and get out of there. That's all they can really do. In that showdown with Toronto at the end of the year, Toronto has been Montreal's boogeyman all year. They've played so well against them, but fallen just short because they don't have a superstar stars player at forward like they have Austin Matthews or John Tavares or Mitch Marner. So my biggest fear is that we're going to go down to that final game of the year, and it's going to be the boogeyman game where either they're going to come out and they're going to do exactly what they need to and get those 2 points and get in, or they're going to get embarrassed at the last game of the season. And what I'm hoping for is chaos where Toronto keeps losing and falls out of that guaranteed third spot in the Atlantic. And that last game of the year is do or die. It's either Toronto misses the playoffs or Montreal misses the playoffs in that final game of the year. And with Bob Cole calling the game, I don't think it gets any more peak hockey than that possible matchup right there.
Last question that I can think of, guys, and thank you both for your time this evening. And Scott, I'll start with you. All three fan bases are anxious, nervous about these hockey games coming up. Many of us are enjoying or at least needing an adult beverage to get through these games. What, guys, what are you drinking to help get you through these next three games?
I have a very nice bottle I got of scotch that I got as a Christmas present. Game of Thrones released a whole line of single malt scotches. So I've got a nice glass of single malt scotch. Every now, I could probably use one now. My hands are shaking. But every now and then the game starts, I'll pour myself a nice glass and sip on that. And then if the game goes bad, I'll either go pour myself another glass or go grab one of the IPAs I've got from other half sitting in my beer fridge out in the garage. So I'm well stocked for this time of year.
Beautiful. Rob, any Land Grant brewing beers or something a little sturdier?
Well, the Land Grant beers are good, guys. Like, they have a good IPA, excuse me, called Stiff Arm that's pretty solid. But I'm more of an old-fashioned guy. I like to sip, take it easy, and, you know, I prefer to make them at home. You know, it's just a good drink to watch a game with. You know, it's just what
I've
done for a lime if I'm watching it home and just, yeah.
No, I love it. What's your bourbon or rye of choice in said old fashioned?
So we have a distillery in Columbus called Watershed Distillery, and they make some of the best bourbon around. So that's the bourbon.
I like it. Nice local. I've actually been enjoying a little Jefferson's while we've been recording this podcast. So last question for me, guys, and then we'll cut you loose. There is a possibility that the Carolina Hurricanes, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Montreal Canadiens all end up at 98 points. Regulation overtime wins means the Blue Jackets will get the better seed. But as it sits right now, if the Hurricanes were to go 2-1 and get 5 points, the Montreal Canadiens would go 3-0 to get to 98 points. That would put us both at 43 regulation overtime wins. And right now the delta of the goals for advantage between the Canadiens and the Hurricanes is 5. So in theory, that could be evened out. So let's say this. If it comes down to the fifth tiebreaker to figure out who goes to the playoffs, what single player are you sending out to do the one-on-one shootout against Peter Mrazek that Gary Bettman's going to sell a ton of pay-per-view dollars for?
Oh, man.
I'll take Artemi Panarin.
You're out of this. Go away, kid. Go away. Go away, bug boy. You've got 45 wins. We're done with you.
I want to say for shits and giggles, we'll send out Victor Mete, who hasn't scored an NHL goal yet in his career, but...
Oh, you bastard. That's the perfect answer.
It is the perfect... Yeah, and again, we would then have to respond with Hayden Fleury. and bad things happen. Guys, this has been a blast. For those of you, you know, definitely keep up with this. The last week of the NHL season brings us together, makes us want to murder each other. First Ohio Battery are our friends up there in Columbus. Habs Eyes on the Prize are our friends up in Quebec who would never, ever, ever make attendance jokes about our team moving. We leave that to other Quebec-based RDS organizations. Guys, we cannot say thank you enough. All of the folks in Caniac Nation, go follow the Twitter. Say thank you to Scott and Rob on both the team, their blog accounts and their personal accounts. Guys, thank you so much. I would like to say good luck to you, but I can't. I hope you'll understand.
The feeling's mutual.
Hey, I would actually, no, Mike, I'd like to be a kind host. Good luck to one of your teams. The worst of luck to the other one of your teams. I'll let the two of you figure out who I'm talking to in each case.
Excellent. Boys, this has been great. We'll talk to y'all. Let's get together and do this again in a week. I'm guessing one of you will not be taking our calls, though. We'll talk to you soon, y'all.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
So, Derek, I know we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to just address something that I don't know if any of us had considered. The fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs are not making the playoffs.
Well, might not make the playoffs.
If we speak it into existence, Derek... It will happen. Much like Adam Fox. No, wait, never mind. Let's talk about this Toronto situation.
So, yeah, if Toronto... Basically, they have to lose out.
Toronto still has four games to play as of Monday night, I believe.
Yeah, and I forget the tiebreakers. I didn't really look into all that. They may be able to earn as many as 1 point, but if they earn two, they're in because Montreal can't catch them.
Correct.
But if they lose out, we win out, Columbus wins out, Montreal wins out, Toronto could miss the playoffs by losing to Montreal on the last game of the season, and that would be just so delicious for so many hockey fans.
Derek, not only to add to the gravitas of that, it would be Bob Cole's last game called for Hockey Night in Canada, the last game to close the season, winner take all, loser leaves town match. Oh my gosh. Again, I believe.
So the loser's going to show up at Mid-South Wrestling next week?
I mean, but to kick this off, for this to even have a pipe dream, the Carolina Hurricanes have to win Tuesday night in Toronto. That could kick off the losing streak to end all losing streaks, a four-game losing streak to close out the season. When we've all been sitting here talking about, you know, which of us, the Habs and the Blue Jackets, which two of those three are going to make it. What if all three made it? And I don't think any of us had even thought about that. But this is the type of run that they have to play Tampa. They have to play us. They have to play Montreal. And there's one other game. I think, is there a Washington game or something like that thrown in the middle? A Boston game? It was not an easy game.
Just a moment.
No, it was the New York Islanders.
Yep,
that was
you're it. Correct. Yeah, they're playing them tonight.
Yes. So so this is Monday.
Ooh, live in-game update. 5 minutes left in the first period. Bagels between New York and Toronto.
There you go. Welcome, welcome back.
And the bagels update sliced appropriately. Don't you stale up my bagels, St. Louis?
Summer J. Bowmeester is crying.
Oh God, that's fine.
That's fine. Here's all I know, Derek.
Yeah,
the Carolina Hurricanes need to get more points than the Montreal Canadiens. That's all it needs to come down to. We don't have to win all three games. We don't have to sweep. We don't have to blow anybody out. We just have to be better than Les Habitants.
Any, like you said, any combination of 6 points either earned by us or lost by Montreal is good. So again, case in point. If the Canes win on Tuesday and Montreal loses on Tuesday, the Canes could clinch a playoff spot on Thursday at home against Los Diablos.
Yes. And I believe, does Montreal play also on Thursday? I believe they do.
I believe they do against the Capitals.
So, in theory, we could clinch at home with a loss as long as the Tuesday situation plays out.
Cool.
Right. Again, it doesn't matter. Just get in.
Just get in.
Just get in. Just get in the playoffs, boys. You can do this. So, Derek, this all leads up to the conversation around Thursday. It is the last home game for those of you who may know us, who have taken part of this with us. The last home game of the season.
I was just stretching my liver. Sorry.
It has always been a big. It's been a big soiree, but it's been kind of like it's been almost a goodbye party for all of our friends, because traditionally there's a lot of folks that we tailgate with and we see with that you know, due to families and jobs and just not being, you know, hanging out in parking lots together, that we don't see all summer. So that this last April game is traditionally that last game where we say goodbye and we're all sad, but I don't think that's going to be the tone for this Thursday's end of season Section 328 tailgate. Tell the people about it, Derek.
Well, it's not the end of the season, guaranteed at least. It's the end of the regular season for one. So we are going to be out there far earlier than we should. We don't have a set time for when the official tailgate kicks off, but I would
let's call it two, three, right in there.
Something like that. Start piling in. Here's the cool stuff. We're going to be out there. We're going to be rolling deep. We're going to have the cornhole boards out. We'll have food and drink you know, provided by everybody who comes to the tailgate, because everybody likes to bring their own stuff. So if you like to bring your own favorite food, favorite beverage that you want to share, essentially we say if it's not in a cooler, assume it is community at the tailgate. We will also have pizza provided by Papa Murphy's. Yes, they are best known for take and bake pizzas, but trust me, we will not have to bake them at the tailgate.
No, because Papa Murphy's stepping up strong, bringing the take-and-bake truck to the Section 328 tailgate, and Papa Murphy going to be cooking the pizzas on site thanks to the partnership of Section 328 and your friends at Sports Channel 8, the radio show, 99.9 The Fan, 10 to noon every Saturday on the 99.9 The Fan app. Best listen to Buck Ass Naked in the Shower.
Please don't do that at the tailgate. The other half of what
we won't have a shower at the tailgate.
Good. And stay clothed. The other half of what will be at the tailgate for all to enjoy is beer from our friends at New Belgium, because they want us to have a good time together. So those things will be there. They are provided. They are free of charge. If we do not know you and or you appear to be not 21 years of age, we will be carding people.
Absolutely.
We do take that very seriously, but come on out. Enjoy what is supposed to be an absolutely beautiful day. Take your Claritin. Take whatever allergy meds you need, because the pollen is probably going to be thick with two C's that day. But it is supposed to be like 73 degrees, mostly sunny, so put on that sunscreen. I'm Irish and German as hell, so I'm borrowing my 18-month-old daughter's baby sunscreen, so I'm probably going to be glowing white. But it's going to be a great day. So please come out. This is your invitation. Whether you've come to a tailgate, whether you've come to 20 tailgates, whether you've never been to a Section 328 tailgate, this is your invitation. It is open to all, unless you're an asshole. Come on out.
And if you're an asshole, we'll try to convert you. And if you're still an asshole, we'll ask you to leave.
Yeah, but open invitation. If you listen to the podcast, if you follow us on Twitter, if you listen to the podcast and you have four friends who are Canes fans but have never been to a game and they want to come to a tailgate, bring them all. We are in the East Lot grass by the big illuminated sign on Wade Avenue in the 2000 lot section. Come on out. Say hello. We'll have flags flying from trucks. We'll have tents everywhere. We're making a lot of noise. Come up. Say hello. You're here. Your friends. Your family. We welcome all of you.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely a great time. And shout out to a longtime listener. I believe it's DevDub13, who was at the last game against Philadelphia, came all the way down from Ohio, made a point to actually come out to the tailgate spot after the game because he knew that's where would be our vehicles would be, and said hello. I was a little bit rushed. I had a kid with me. There was all sorts of stuff going on. I might have previously been crying, so I didn't get a chance to spend nearly as much time with him as I would have liked, but I wanted to say a personal thank you and a shout out to him for coming out, the bro hug and just everything there. And thank you guys for, you know, those who come up to us and chat with us, because we really enjoy this. This is a passion project. This is love of family, and you guys are family to us, and this is going to be our last chance this regular season to share that with you. And if anybody you know, thinks themselves a cornhole connoisseur, I highly encourage you to come out and be part of the end of season tournament, upon which we, the world champs of the world, the greatest cornhole tag team ever, who has held the belts, I believe, every year, I believe, will put the belts up as part of the tag team tournament. And let us just tell you, we ain't losing.
I know of one tag team immediately that beat us. It was, I don't think it was at an
they were
end
Washington,
of season.
It was not end of season. It was Washington Capitals
and
guys.
Those guys were ringers.
And they came for the Caniacs Give Back tailgate that was supporting a good friend who was battling cancer. And those guys were great. But yeah, one of the guys I think was on the WVU cornhole team.
Yeah. No, he actually was legitimately professional at cornhole for a while.
Killed us. So anyway, come on out, have a lot of fun. If you want to bring beers, again, we'll have a few beers to share with everybody. We will not have enough beers for everybody to have all that they want, so we highly encourage you to drop by Bottle Mix, which is over on Creedmoor Road, just south of 540, a couple of miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall. Get your beverages there. They've got all sorts of great stuff. We'll be hitting that Bottle Mix beer review in just a minute, but first we're gonna open up the cheat mail bag.
Isn't there usually a song?
Cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail.
Boy, you slid the BPMs up on that
one, Mike. There you go. Welcome to the Techno Remix.
All right, I got the first question. This is kind of related to the theme we were just talking about of opening the doors to everybody. This comes to us from Charlotte's newest jerk at TJ Roush 1. What does it take to be part accepted in the 328 tribe? Because I want to buy tickets among you.
All are welcome. As long as you're not an asshole. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, if you want to be part of, like, you know, if you want to be jumped in, I'm sure we could make up something.
Yeah, we the 328 Double Dutch crew is still a work in progress.
You know what? That's part of the beauty of Section 328. You know, those who have been around and listened to this thing for a while know that, you know, this is literally just a random group of folks who got thrown together. It was people from different backgrounds, people from different ethnicities, people of
ethnicities. Mike holds his own tongue while talking.
Well, the problem is Rob mentioned a good old fashioned, and that one's good.
Oh, where did it go?
Exactly. You know, just different backgrounds, different jobs, different everything. And this is what, 1920 seasons together now that we've all been sitting in that arena, just having such a good time. And we welcome all. There's been folks who have come and gone, who have been part of the family and left the family, but they're still, you know, they're away, but they're part of the family. Again, we love when the arena's full. We love when the arena's loud. And we love when folks come to the game and have a spirit of community. So thank you guys for even considering sitting with us in Section 328. Welcome to Row F, which is, I think, the first open row at this point.
Here's a question. Do you know for a fact if season ticket reps are still cautioning people when they buy their tickets in 328?
I know if you're a family, yes. Because
which is so weird because we're probably one of the cleaner sections when it comes to profanity, but that doesn't take things into account like volume and good taste.
Right. If your child who is young gets our really obscure pop culture references, which are definitely in poor taste, congratulations on you on raising your child that way.
If your 5-year-old is aware of John Hinckley, I want to give him or her a handshake just at the firmness of their choice.
Yes. All right, Derek. Here's a good question. May lead to another topic of conversation we had talked about.
Okay.
What return do we get for Trevor Van Riemsdyk when we trade him this offseason so that way we can sign Adam Fox?
Ooh.
This one from our buddy K to the RL. He is Carl Kikas, because we are the sole podcast who actually pronounces his name right.
Is there a timestamp on that tweet? Because I'm hoping it was before Bob McKenzie tweeted.
7 hours ago.
Yes, that was before Bob McKenzie shared the fact that Adam Fox is really not going to sign here, and so the Canes need to trade him. So I think that makes the Trevor Van Riemsdyk trade a lot less likely, and I'm okay with it. It sucks to lose a prospect of Adam Fox's caliber, especially after all the good things we heard about him when acquiring him at the draft, but if he is like totally unwilling to accept playing in the AHL with the backlog of defense and defensive prospects we have, it's tough. Pardon me, I was trying to hold back a burp. I've been thinking about Adam Fox so much as far as coming up next season that I haven't really thought about what our defensive pipeline and contracts look like going into next season, and if we do need to make a move at all.
Again, I think it's limited, right? Because you do have guys like Jake Bean and Hayden Fleury who are going to be coming in and fighting for spots. And it's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, it's an interesting situation, right? Adam, by the leak today and by what Bob McKenzie has kind of said, basically, the only way for Adam Fox to burn a year of his entry-level contract is for him to sign with the Carolina Hurricanes and then be traded to another organization to be able to burn a year of his entry-level contract. So he would have to be a sign-a-trade. Somebody on Twitter earlier suggested that the Canes sign him with a sign-and-trade all locked up, and then the trade falls through when they call Central Registry.
That'd be amazing.
It would be awful for every player, you know, we ever want to sign in the future, because no one would ever trust us.
Right.
But, you know, turtleneck Don, I mean, who trusts a guy who wears a mock turtleneck 10 months out of the year?
I don't.
Alex Semin does. Derek, this one for you. This one from Jerk Knight in Carolina from @Svetch. With the end of the season upon us, how do you see the Canes finishing next season? I see them finishing at game 102.
Ooh. Game 102 or 102 points?
Game 102.
Oh, yes.
That's how I see it.
20 playoff games. I mean, I don't know. They'll be third in the Metro next year.
If not second.
Why not? Here's one on a bit of a darker note from our buddy Take Warning 1819. We know him as Dane. If we lose to Toronto on Tuesday, will an actual human sacrifice be required at Thursday's tailgate?
No, we would never kill another human willingly. what will be required? I'll tell you this: if it is dire and we need an exorcism, I will commit to spending as much time as I potentially can on Wednesday finding a priest or priestess who is willing to do an exorcism on the grounds of PNC Arena as part of the tailgate. I will commit to that.
Okay.
No sacrifice, but exorcism, absolutely.
I hope you don't have to do that.
Neither do I.
All right.
Derek, how far would you be willing to go to break the curse?
I'd eat a Klondike bar? No. I don't know. I don't want to think about it. Read me another question, Mike.
This one from our buddy Albie Hood. Adam Fox, F that guy or F that guy?
Ooh, I'm going to go F. Oh, to me, I heard it two different ways. I heard F that guy or F that guy. I'm going with F that guy.
Yeah, absolutely F that guy. I'll give you one that might be a little bit a little bit tougher here. Section 328, this was from @MetalCaniacFan, Aiden Calhoun. Favorite sandwich, spelled the Canadian way with the U. Favorite sandwich.
Oh, I didn't know if you meant like favorite Canadian sandwich.
No, he spells it the Canadian way, though.
Oh, okay, favorite sandwich spelled with the U. I mean, I like a good Cuban sandwich. I like a good Reuben. A good club sandwich is always good. If it's the last sandwich I ever get to eat, it'd be a Monte Cristo, because that'll just give you all the cholesterol. Give me a good club sandwich. I'm good.
Cool. The correct answer was Reuben. Thanks for playing. Derek, you have any more questions for me?
Yeah, I got several more questions for you. From Matt Peterson, PE. Say the Canes have to win a shootout in game 82 to make the playoffs. Who are you sending out?
I think this one's easy, Derek.
And are you picking one or are you picking three?
I think I only need one.
Oh, okay.
But I'll give you three. First shooter for the Carolina Hurricanes, number 19, Dougie Hamilton.
I like it.
Second shooter for the Carolina Hurricanes, number 14.
Ooh.
Justin Williams.
Okay.
I've put faith in that man for 81 games. When the game is on the line, I'm trusting my captain.
Okay.
My third shooter, the future of the franchise, number 37, Alexander Andre Ovechkin Svechnikov.
That old fashioned is doing work on you, sir.
No, he is the future of Russian players in the National Hockey League. I'm going Svechnikov as the third shooter.
Okay. I liked how you started with Dougie, so I'm going to start with Dougie as well.
Okay.
I'm going to go actually in numerical order and just keep that train rolling. I'll go 19, 20, 21 in that order in the shootout.
Ooh.
So give me Hamilton, give me Aho, give me El Nino.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yours may be better than mine, but hopefully we'll never know.
Yes, I hope. I really hope we never know.
Derek, this one from our buddy David Robinson. He is at DC Robin 99.
Also, we should really put a statue of him outside the PNC Arena.
Yes, we should. When the Canes clinch the playoff, what song will be played in the locker room after the game?
Ooh. Oh, man.
I mean, that's been so much. I mean, if you follow along from Sarah Sivian at The Athletic, she's done a good job of supposedly after the season, she's going to release her Spotify playlist of post-game songs that have been played as win songs.
Oh, I know what it is. Go back to early in the season. They're playing Mo Bamba.
Ooh, okay. You see, Derek, I'm going full ride. I'm going full Miley.
Yeah.
I want Party in the USA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I almost never do. This from our friend Will Bradshaw at Will Bradshaw 18. F, marry, kill. And there's a little bit of a caveat on this one. So
okay.
F means signs a 1-year deal. Marry signs a longer deal. Kill walks in this offseason. Okay.
Okay.
So with that being said, F, marry, kill. Williams, Ferland, Mrazek.
Ooh. Ooh, interesting.
I like that question, and thank you for the twist on it, Will.
Oh, I like that. I am going to F Justin Williams.
Of course you would.
Why wouldn't you? I am going to... Oh, gosh. I'm going to... Can I kill? I am going to marry Michael Ferland and kill Peter Mrazek.
Hmm, interesting.
And while I would prefer to kill both of them, Williams doesn't have a long-term deal in him. I think Ferland, while he is potentially injury-prone and may not have a long career, if we can get married, you know, if we can do like a New York marriage of like 3 years, I think that would be great.
Don't look up New York marriage on Urban Dictionary. I'm betting that's not good.
I think Alex Nedeljkovic is ready, and I would hate to see us lose a goaltender like Alex Nedeljkovic. I think I hope Peter Mrazek signs for 1 year. I don't think Peter Mrazek's going to sign here for 1 year. If we could get Peter Mrazek to sign here for 2 years and have he and Nedeljkovic be the tandem until Ned's ready to take this over, that would be my preferred method. But that's kind of where I'm thinking. Derek, please tell me the right answer.
So for me, I'm with you on F Justin Williams on a 1-year deal because who knows how many years he has left and wants to keep playing this game. I'm flipped on you, though, with the Ferland and Mrazek. So I would kill Michael Ferland because I don't want to pay him what his agent is saying he's worth. And I think Mrazek on a long-term deal, but by long-term, I mean 2 to 3 years. I don't want more than three. Those are my caveats on that question.
I hear you. Derek, I think we again, thank you guys all for the cheat mail.
We had a lot of good cheat mail questions.
A lot of good cheat mail. I think this is probably going to be the last one for me. This one is from at PatClark27. Two questions, two-part question. Beverage you're cracking when the Canes clinch?
When the Canes clinch?
Beverage you're cracking if the Canes are eliminated.
So, if when the Canes clinch, whenever I'm home... And in a position to continue drinking, a.k.a. it won't be late Thursday night if that's when it happens, because I will not need more alcohol at that point. So the beverage I'm going to crack the next time is a bottle of Cam Ward's wine, some Vineyard 36 Cabernet from Napa Valley. I got it for Christmas 3 years ago, and I said I am going to drink this when the Canes make the playoffs. That is my choice for if when the Canes clinch. If when the Canes are eliminated, I don't know. I don't want to commit to something stupid like Wild Irish Rose, but that's what it calls for. It calls for gas station wine.
I think whichever happens, Derek, we're going to have the folks at Sports Channel 8 document this via video. When the Canes clinch, what will I crack? I will crack a bottle of champagne that I will have stowed in a cooler that'll be outside after Thursday because they've got champagne in the locker room, boys, and I'm planning on cracking it after the game.
Oh, I like the way you think. Last time we had Last time I remember bringing a bottle of bubbly to a Canes tailgate was Happy Dundon Day.
Yeah, Happy Dundon Day. So that's what I would crack. If the Canes do not clinch and are eliminated, which I would suspect would be Saturday, so I would be at home, I would crack. I'm gonna go with the deer blood. I'm going to go Jägermeister.
Oh, no.
I'm not pouring it in anything except my mouth. And I'm taking the bottle to the face. And then I'm going to go to Section 328 Twitter, and I'm going to tweet until I can't see. So Saturday, if bad things happen, just know it's Mike, and he's on the Twitters. And Derek may be with me, because I may have to, like, I may go to your house and sit in your front yard in Garner.
Whoa. I don't live with Shane Willis.
I'm sorry, your backyard's in Garner. Anyway, great. Derek, any more tweet mail questions before we go to this?
No, it's Mike, cheat mail.
I don't care. I'm so done. I just win.
That's all you're focused on. I'm focused on this delicious beverage that you can get at Bottle Mix.
Tweet mail, cheat mail, spleet mail, cardiac mail. It's something. It's all out there. We're all using the same gimmick.
If you're not Steve Allen, you're stealing our bit. So anyway, in tonight's Bottle Mix beer review, first off, I want to give a shout out to D9 Brewing. I bought some beer from Bottle Mix a while ago.
D9.
And as things happen when you store beer at home, the beer may referment, and things absolutely happen. And I tweeted to D9 Brewing about it, and they went above and beyond to make things right. So I had a couple beers that went bad. They more than made up for it. And I wanted to share the good word that D9 takes care of their people. So if you want to support D9, they already make delicious beer. Go to Bottle Mix, buy a bunch of D9 beer, and it is just absolutely delicious brew, and the people behind the beer really want to take care of their customers. So wanted to give them a little shout out, but wanted to talk about Bottle Mix. Mike already told you where they are. I'm going to tell you what you should get from them. So as always, get some Burial beer, but right now there is the Coconut Brown, Bolo Coconut, whatever they call it now, Coco Bolo. It used to be called Bolo Coconut Brown. It's got a different name. I think it's a little bit different formula. It tastes a little different to me. This is a... I'll read you the description here. Barry always puts some weird prose before they talk about the beer, but this is made with loads of chocolate nibs from French broad chocolate, piles of coconut, hordes of grain, and smatterings of brown sugar. It is a delicious brown ale that I highly, highly recommend. You can taste all those flavors in there. It's a little colder today. I know it's going to be warmer on Thursday, but I wanted something to kind of warm me up a little bit this evening. So I chose this beer. It pours a nice kind of brown color. It's not totally see-through. It's not like a black t-shirt kind of dark, but it is a nice dark beer. Pours a thin little foam to it. But
nice lacing.
Very nice lacing, and it's a beer that's only about 5.5%, so you can have several of these and not get loopy and start mispronouncing words on a podcast.
I'm not loopy. I'm just... Stop it.
But lots of chocolate, lots of coconut. They go really well together, like those delicious Girl Scout cookies. I bet these would go really good with some Samoas.
Oh, yeah.
I should find out. Anyway, go to Bottle Mix, get some of this beer. Go there Tuesday, Wednesday. Go there early Thursday. Get some beers that you love that are preferably lower percentage alcohol so you can have a few of them and still enjoy every moment of that Canes game Thursday. Also, head to Bottle Mix Friday. If you're a wine lover, they're having their first Friday wine tastings. They always have 5 good wines to try. You can pick those out, learn a little bit more about them, find some new stuff that you enjoy. Saturday morning, though, here's a time to go to Bottle Mix. There's a Canes game Saturday night. But Saturday morning at 10 a.m., Bottle Mix is tapping a keg of Founders Kentucky Breakfast out.
What?
And until that keg is gone, they will fill a 32-ounce growler of KBS for you. So if you need something to watch that game Saturday, can't think of too much better than a fresh growler of KBS. So head to Bottle Mix. You know where they are. Tell them Section 328 sent you. They'll take great care of you. Even if you don't tell them Section 328 sent you, they'll take great care of you. And
they'll take better care of you, though, if you tell them that we sent you.
That's true. So yeah, get some supplies and come see us Thursday.
Thursday.
I'm so ready for Thursday, Mike.
Home tailgate. We'll be out there. The Sports Channel 8 crew will be out there. Most of the Section 328 crew is going to be out there. Going to be a great time. Again, we'll follow over on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We'll let you know the exact time. We're thinking everything's going to kick off probably somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock. But we'll be out there taking pictures, having a lot of fun with you, and hopefully a few hundred of our friends. If you can't make it out till near the end of the tailgate, as always, there is an end of your tradition, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
There has been a tradition now for the better part of 15 seasons. We have opened every game, every season, and closed every regular season by getting together in a massive circle out in the tailgate spot, passing a bottle of Jägermeister, and toasting to those friends, players, co-workers that came before us and shall come after us for what we are thankful for this team and this hockey season. So come out, be part of the Jäger Pass. Call it probably somewhere around
six.
Definitely won't start any later than 6:10, so that way we can get inside the arena to cheer on our boys as they clinch a playoff position for the 2019 National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs as we start the race for Lord Stanley's Chalice. Derek, this is the last regular season edition of this podcast. We'll probably do a few live things while we're out there tailgating. Folks, we look forward to being back here behind these mics next week when the Carolina Hurricanes start their chase for Lord Stanley's Cup as a member of this year's playoffs.
Yep, heart rate's 109 now, Mike. Thanks for helping that out.
Until then, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all your support, for our Patreon supporters, for those who go over and do the buy on Amazon and all of those other things we talk about all throughout the year. None of that's important. The only thing important right
now... Well, no, it's important and we appreciate it.
We appreciate it. But the most important thing now is come out, join us on Thursday, support the Carolina Hurricanes. They need every single member of Caniac Nation behind them. Let's show them how much we've appreciated this run they've done, how much our effort and hard work they've put into this, and let's make sure one last time they know how much Caniac Nation is behind them. And then we go to the playoffs. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
Lord save us, we're out of here.
Pyaaah!